Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Tony Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Today, I'm going to be talking to Erin Billowitz about how to stay active and sneak exercise into your day during a pandemic. We'll also talk about how can we keep our kids moving and what she's doing for herself and for her family so that they can stay healthy and active during this time. We also cover the biggest exercise mistake, the difference between cardio and strength training, and what sort of exercises are best for your health. So sit back and enjoy. Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. Today, I'm excited to be interviewing Erin Billowitz. She's the owner and one of the trainers at Vintage Fitness. Erin Billowitz started Vintage Fitness in 2005. Her vision was to create a team of professionals that understand how to motivate and train people over the age of 50 in a way that is challenging, effective, and safe. She has two biology degrees from the University of Guelph and an MBA from McMaster. Very cool. She has been training older adults for 11 years and teaching group exercise classes for 18 years. She plays hockey, runs, does yoga, and strength trains. And you have three kids. Have you done that all, Erin?
Well, I don't know. One day at a time, I think.
Right. And I guess your kids are a bit older, right? You have a few teenagers. If you want to tell the listeners the age of your kids.
Sure. Yeah. I have three girls, 17, 15, and 8.
Okay. So yeah, you started your business even, you know, before you were pregnant with the exercise classes. And then you've had, you know, little ones when you were doing your training with the older adults. So I'm sure you had a busy time with the three kids and the business, but it sounds like you're doing really well. And I'm so excited to talk to you today about how we can actually move more, because a lot of us are chained to our home offices right now. We're not getting in as many steps. The gyms are closed right now due to the pandemic. So we're really going to benefit from learning some tips and tricks on how to stay healthy and active. So welcome. And before we get started, I just wanted to ask you, what inspired you to become a personal trainer?
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. So I have been involved with fitness my whole life. And at university, I started to teach classes and things. And when I was pregnant with my second daughter, I had a bit of a kind of a crisis where I was, you know, not doing well at work. And the boss was calling me because I was leaving early. The daycare for my first daughter was calling me because I was late. And I kind of thought, this isn't working. You know, this corporate world that I was in for a little bit wasn't working. And I thought, what do I love? I love fitness. I believe passionately in fitness. And I believe passionately in fitness, especially as we age, the impact it can make is enormous.
Amazing. So that happens, I think, to a lot of moms, right? Where they're trying to raise kids. It's just time to step back and reevaluate their career. It's like, where do I really want to put this limited time and energy that I have? What do I want to invest it into? And that's amazing that you step back, you made that change, and here you are today. And I also wanted to ask you too, what's the biggest exercise mistake you see people make, right? We hear so many things, do this, don't do that. What's one of the biggest things that could really impair our health or be bad for us in terms of exercise?
So the biggest exercise mistake I see is people don't weight train. So they do too much cardio, especially women, and the same type of cardio, the same movement. So they have one thing that they do, and that's what they do over and over again. So they get repetitive strain injury. So I'm a runner. I only do yoga. So I think having variety with exercise is really, really important to change it up for the body, so you're not straining the same joints all of the time. And also when people do weight train, which is great, they do too much focus on front body. So they train the chest, they train their quads, and they miss their back and they miss their glutes and they miss their hamstrings. So when trainers work with clients, often they're doing double work on the back half of the body because it's often quite a bit weaker than the front half.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I see so many women come and they're training for a marathon, or they're only doing like push-ups and planks and front body exercises, and then the back area can get weak or they get that repetitive injury too. Do you have certain types of cardio exercises that you usually recommend, or certain types of strength training, whether it's like with weights or isometric holds, or what are some of your favorites?
So, I mean, the motto is really variety. So the body gets amazingly good at, if you do the same thing all of the time, the body gets really good at doing that one thing. And I think what you need to do is shake it up. So try different things. That said, my favorites would be rows. So making sure some hand weights and kind of making sure that you're training the back body. So rows, any sort of squat motion is good, especially into a chair, depending on your age, to make sure you're getting the right technique of the squat. You're not going too far forward. And then planks, ab work that doesn't involve flexion of the back. So crunches I'm not a big fan of, but things like front plank and side plank I think are great because you're working with core without injuring the back.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are some great tips, definitely. And then for cardio, would it be then like mixing it up? Maybe like, yeah, walking, it looks like you run, biking, or can you kind of combine those exercises together to get the heart rate going?
Yeah, you can combine them to get them going for sure. And if you're a walker, for example, one day I think I'm going to do some intervals. So I'm going to do a minute faster and then slower. And then the next day I'm going to do 20 minute fast walk. And then my third walk, I'm going to do an hour slow walk. So just adding variety. Same thing if you're on the bike. Just, this is a strength ride. And my next one is all about, speed. So that it's just not the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we don't really realize even just a walk, right? We can vary that up too. So yeah, doing different speeds or inclines. So I think that's a really great tip for everybody, because if that's their only form of exercise right now, you can still make it different each time you're doing it. So that's an amazing tip. And those are some great exercises that people can try, like the rows and the squats, sitting into the chair, the planks. And we're hearing a lot now to not do crunches. Can you explain to the listener why it's not recommended? It used to be one of the favorite ab exercises, right? It reminds me of those 80s kind of workout videos.
yeah, for sure. And, you know, there at times there's a place for everything, but I just think it's the repetition of it. So you're putting a lot of weight and torque on your back and you're doing that same repetitive movement. So you're just going to get a strain in the low back. And depending on how old you are, most of us will have some degeneration in the discs, and you would know this, Lisa, more than I would. But if you add in that, all that strain, especially weighted, some people put plates on their chests and things and then crunch, it's just putting a lot of stress on your spine.
Right.
When you don't have to, there's a million ways to work your core without flexing your spine.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned, yeah, like the planks. I know people are doing a lot of like leg drops while they're lying on their back. You mentioned the side plank. So those sound like some really good options for the abs. And what are you doing right now to stay healthy and active? What's your regime before we go into some more questions about how we can stay active?
Yeah, sure. So I do something every day, and it really is quite varied. And it's as much for my mental health as anything else at this point. You almost get a little bit addicted to that feeling of moving every day. So I walk the dog. I strength train twice a week, usually upper body one day, lower body another day. I do yoga a couple of times a week as well. And then I usually run once or twice a week.
Wow. So you do have quite the variety. And do you have a big dog? Because I know a lot of people say, yeah, I walk the dog, but they have like a small dog and the dog stops every few minutes and smells things. Like, is it a good walkout with your dog? I know some are faster than others.
Yeah. She's a Portuguese water dog. She's about 65 pounds. So she runs. I can run with her as well. She's a pretty big
great dog. Okay. Yeah. Do you find that too, that people sometimes consider the dog walk exercise? For you, obviously it is, but other people might count it as a workout, but they're really just kind of, you know, not going very fast or getting their heart rate up.
Yeah. I mean, so it's movement for sure. And staying moving is super important. I talk to a lot of clients that say, you know what, I don't need exercise because my activities in my life are, I'm busy. I take the stairs, I walk, and all of those things are amazing. And I really encourage it. But for our clients, and a lot of our clients are seniors, we do exercise so that their everyday life doesn't exhaust them. So we're doing exercises to strengthen, to build their stamina so that they, when they want to go and walk their dog or enjoy lunch with a friend or go for a walk with their grandkids, that they can do it and it doesn't exhaust them. So even if you have an active life, there's still a place, especially for strength training in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a really great approach. Yeah. Cause a lot of our listeners are I think are in that kind of sandwich generation where they have kids, but they're also having parents who are getting older, maybe losing mobility, not as strong as they used to. They might have low bone density. So I like this approach. And I think it's great you target that demographic because it's so key for not only their mental health, as you mentioned, but just to keep them strong so they can get out and enjoy and move and not injure themselves and have the energy to do that. So I think that's amazing. And I think for your classes, you do in-house visits, right? As well as virtual sessions, which I think is very useful for people because I don't think you actually have a physical gym location at this point. Is that correct?
That's right. So we do in-home training. There's a team of 10 of us. So we work across the Greater Toronto Area and we do quite a bit of virtual training over Zoom as well.
Mm-hmm. So that's so convenient. So you can access anyone basically anywhere in the world with those virtual sessions. And then for some of our elderly parents out there, they might not be so tech savvy. You're doing those in-home visits as well. So that's an amazing service to offer. When you're seeing some clients, what are some of their biggest like barriers or hurdles that are stopping them from exercising? And what can we do to kind of overcome those?
Sure. So the one I hear most is motivation. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm motivated. I just can't get myself to do it. My treadmill is collecting dust and I just feel unmotivated. So that's the biggest one. The second one I hear a lot is pain. So I have joint pain. I have, you know, other types of pain in the body that I'm worried about it making worse. That's why I don't exercise. And then the third is I don't know what to do. So I know I'm supposed to be doing all exercise. I'm just confused. So I'm just going to stick to my walking because at least I know that. And I'm just confused about all the other stuff because I seem to be getting conflicting messages.
Right, right. And then for motivation, so you probably like you come across that a lot, I'm sure. How do you overcome that barrier? That can be really challenging.
Yeah. So motivation is an interesting one because it doesn't tend to just land on your lap. What I find is you have to start moving. So even if you're feeling like really the most unmotivated day, I'll say, you know what? Do it for 10 minutes. Just tell yourself, I'm only going to do it for 10 minutes. And if after 10 minutes, I really want to stop, then I'll stop. But I find you have to make the appointment. You have to just start moving and then the motivation will come. It won't just come and land on your lap. That's why working with a trainer tends to work well because over Zoom or in person, the person is showing up at your door or showing on your video screen and watching you and making sure you're doing it properly and motivating you, making sure you're doing the right exercises. So that can help as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a really great tip. So yeah, starting small, just saying, I'm going to do it for 10 minutes. I've heard, you know, you have to fake it till you can make it sometimes. So once you start, then even if you don't feel like it, sometimes you'll get into it and want to continue. And I like that idea of having the appointment, like with the Gretchen Rubin book, if anyone's read The Four Tendencies, it talks about why do people stick to habits or why don't they stick to habits? And there's a category of people called obligers, where they need that appointment with their trainer. They have to be meeting that person at the gym in order for them to work out. So it's recognizing, you know, is that how, where you fall with the tendency for habits, whether you complete them or not. So I think having that person or that appointment is really key. So that's a really great tip for motivation, Erin. I love it. Do you get people rewarding themselves for, you know, if they're exercising a certain number of times a week with, some people do, you know, a gold star, or they put some money aside. Have you ever seen that to be effective?
For some people, for sure. Often the motivation, the reward comes with achieving the goal. So I talked to a client this morning, he's 84 and his balance isn't great, but what he really wants to be able to do is get on his bike the way he used to. So putting one foot on a pedal and swinging his leg up and around, and he does it a different way now and he doesn't feel it as motivating for him. So that's his goal. And if we can get him there, he's going to feel great. So the reward is achieving the, what you want to achieve, I think, for a lot of people.
You know, that's a great way to look at it. So yeah, why are you doing these exercises? I know, you know, a major goal that people have with exercise is to lose weight, but there's so many other benefits. You talked about the mood benefits. Can you talk about a few more reasons why we should be exercising and moving?
Absolutely. So we talked about kind of managing your stress, managing your bone density, mental health and brain health. So just getting moving more is good for your brain health. It helps to prevent cognitive decline as you age. Bone density, lose in your lean muscle mass. So every decade, if we don't exercise, you tend to gain 10 pounds and lose a lot of strength as well. So just making sure that you're building lean muscle so that you stay strong and your posture stays good as you age. There's just a myriad. I could kind of go on and on really about the benefits of exercise, but there's kind of no bad side effects, but so many benefits.
Yeah, amazing. And I think anyone that, you know, exercises regularly, and let's say they can't for some reason, whether it's injury or pain or a life change, they really feel like awful, right? They're like, oh, my mood is low. I feel so weak and sluggish and tired. I can't think clearly. So it affects
sleep,
your
whole body. I guess.
Yeah, that's an important one. Yeah. Because so many people don't sleep well, but it's like, okay, have you moved in the day? You need to burn off some of that energy too. So those are some great motivators on reminding us why it's so good to exercise. And then when someone has some pain, so I guess obviously that's a huge topic, but what would you recommend in general that may affect their barrier?
Yeah. So we work with a lot of clients with joint pain. So I'll use that as a bit of an example. There, if it's osteoarthritis, because that's the most common one that we find, it's not curable, but what we can do is make sure that we're lubricating and warming the joint up properly before we move it. Moving it often helps to increase that lubrication. And we do a lot of work where we strengthen the muscles that support the joint. So it just becomes a bit more stable. So that can help ease the pain of that joint. The other thing to think about is work with someone or a program where the trainers or the developers understand how to modify exercises for joint pain. So just like in the example of the core, where there's a million different ways to move the core without doing a crunch, there's a million different ways to strengthen all parts of the body, moving it in a different way that doesn't cause joint pain. Our rule of thumb is if it's a sharp pain that you can point at, stop doing that movement right away, that you're causing more injury to that joint. If it's osteoarthritis and it's a bit of a dull ache and you warm it up and it continues to have a bit of a dull ache, that's probably okay. If it hurts, if you work out say at 10 and it's hurting and still achy by the time you go to bed, you probably push that joint a little bit too far. But exercise can make a big difference for joint pain. The more you sit, the tighter that joint's going to be, the less lubricated the joint's going to be, the stiffer it's going to be, the less you're going to move, the weaker that you'll get. And you get into this terrible negative spiral. So the worst thing you can do with joint pain is rest it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so many people, that's their inclination. Okay. I'm not going to do anything because I have pain to begin with. But it's really important for people to hear. Yeah. Moving is good. Listening to your body, having someone like yourself, Erin, who's trained in how to help people with certain conditions like osteoarthritis, is going to really help improve your quality of life and can actually help to reduce the pain if you're doing things correctly. So you mentioned osteoarthritis. What other sort of conditions do you see contributing to pain that you may help people kind of work through? And, you know, they may be seeing, a physical therapist or osteopath or something, but what are other common conditions that you see causing pain in your clients?
So a lot of our clients have issues with their posture, which causes pain. So they get sort of like, like kyphosis, like rounding of the shoulders, really tight chest, really weak back. And they end up with this hunched posture and they get pain in their neck and pain in their shoulders and sometimes lack of mobility and movement. So we do a lot of work, often in conjunction with a physiotherapist or a chiropractor or a naturopathic doctor, to say, okay, how can we strengthen the postural muscles to make it so that your posture is better, to try to relieve some of the pain in the neck and the upper back.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so key. We're all hunched over.
And low back is the other one. We do tons of work for the low back.
Great.
For golfers, for example, anyone that has injured their low back needs to be able to properly strengthen their core to support the low back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's supports and training sessions you can tailor to people with those conditions and health concerns. So really good to know. And then if someone comes to you and they're like, well, I guess if they're coming to you, it's because they don't know where to start or what to do. So having a trainer is obviously the best solution for that, right? Because you can individualize the treatment. But let's say someone doesn't have a trainer. If you had to pick something to start with, let's say it's one of our listeners who's a perimenopausal mama who's maybe not been moving so much since she's had kids. Maybe she's gained, 5 or 10 pounds. She's a bit achy from all the sitting. What would be a good place to start, or what would you recommend?
Yeah. So I would ask her to block an hour a day of a wellness hour every day, same time every day, if that fits with her schedule and her family life. And pick a variety of different both movements and activities. So say if I block it off from 7 to 8 every morning, for example, put in a variety of different things. So maybe it's a couple of walks. If you're a runner, maybe it's a couple of runs. Do a yoga class. Incorporate some strength training. Try a couple of different things, strength platforms, and see what feels best for your body. Make sure it has enough back strengthening. And then on some of the days, just have it as a wellness hour. So maybe that's the time that you have a bath. Maybe that's the time that you do a meditation. Maybe that's the time you sit with your tea and read a book. I just think that having moving 5 times a week and then having the other 2 slots is just a wellness self-care is a good place for her to start.
I love that. So setting aside that time, mixing up, having the variety, as you mentioned, and then also having some more relaxing activities that someone can treat themselves to that maybe they haven't been doing since becoming a mom, or if they're trying to juggle everything. So definitely schedule in that wellness hour. Do you recommend any specific, like if someone wants to set up a bit of a home, not a gym, but just a space in their house, in their basement to work out, would there be a couple of things that would be good to get to start off, like for basic equipment? I know, it doesn't necessarily have to be fancy, but do you have some favorite exercise tools?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. If you look at trainers in a big gym, there's all these big pieces of equipment. And what do you see them with? They're with hand weights, they're with stability balls, and they're with cables. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
Yeah, it's true, right?
so really you don't need much. I would say you need some sort of resistance. So that could be elastic resistance, like those bands that you get at physio. Or it could be a weighted resistance if you want something a little bit more challenging. Most women's handbags are between 8 and 12 pounds. So, don't get 3 pounds, like go 5 and up, in terms of your strength. And then if you have the space for some sort of suspension system, like a TRX, you can put it over your door handle, something that you can work your back. That is helpful as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That TRX, the kind of the fabric kind of systems that you can hang from different things. Yeah.
Okay. People like those too, right? So really good for arms, upper back, back as well. So yeah, it doesn't have to be fancy. Oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So you can pretty much set up anything you want and use that. Yeah, I love, we have a 5-pound set of weights, a 10-pound set of weights, a stability ball, obviously my yoga mat. I have some resistance bands. So I do all my workouts at home in the morning before anybody else is up doing, you know, different videos or types of workouts. And then I love walking, sometimes jogging and biking. But yeah, it doesn't have to be hard. But I think that's key, like you said, setting aside that time to do it. Because if we don't schedule the time for ourselves, we're just not going to do it. We're like one day, and it never happens. So make it an appointment, make an appointment with Erin or a personal trainer to get that exercise in. And then I know there's been a lot of talk about stretching now, right? When I was younger, it was like, okay, stretch before you start working out. And that's like static stretching where you're holding different poses. And then I heard more about, you know, dynamic stretching where you're like swinging your legs. It's more getting the blood flow going. So when is a good time and place to stretch, and how should we be stretching?
So you're right. We've kind of gone back and forth. And I remember those days of the static stretch at the beginning. That's less common now. So at the beginning, it's more warming up the muscles and warming up the joints. So doing some, this would really depend a little bit on how old you are and things like that as well. But doing kind of a light walk or just some movement to kind of get things going. And then some joint mobility work. So kind of leg swings where you're swinging the leg back and forth. This is good for a runner before they start running, or a walker, and forward and back is a good dynamic. It's good to do more dynamic movements for your warm up. And then once you're finished your exercise, then you can do some more static stretches, which is more the traditional held stretches. But I wouldn't do static stretches before your workout.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, because we want to like get the muscles warmed up, the blood flow to them, get the mobility, get the workout in, and then kind of stretch those muscles after. So that sounds like a really good strategy to do. And then now we're all sitting, you know, in our home offices. We're not walking to the bus stop or to the subway. We might be ordering groceries. Like, activity level for some people, I guess, has gone up if they've got, you know, a Peloton or they're doing a lot of trainers. But for a lot of people, it's really significantly reduced, right? And they're not getting their steps in each day. So what are some tips and tricks on how to move more instead of sit in front of our screens for 8-10 hours a day?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, because often we're kind of sitting on a video call or something like that. But if every so often you can turn your camera off, or maybe schedule some phone calls, there's some things you can kind of sneak into your day. Like some of my clients, we talk about having triggers throughout the day to do little exercises. So one example would be when you're putting the kettle on for your tea, do a counter squat where you're holding your sink and you get down into a squat while the tea is boiling. You know, when you brush your teeth, do your Kegels. When you are at a stop sign, you know, like, so add like little triggers throughout your day to say, I'm just going to do this little stretch. Like when you're sitting at your desk, is there a way you could have a stool under your desk so you're stretching your hamstring out a little bit, or do a figure four stretch? I don't think anyone on Zoom can see that, where you're lifting you know what I mean by figure four? You're lifting one foot up over onto the thigh of the other leg and sitting up tall. No one would know you're doing it, but you're stretching out your piriformis, which gets super tight. I can send you a link. We have some desk stretches that you can do, and there's some desk seated stretches you can do. So maybe every so often pop that video off for a few minutes and just move the body a little bit, even in the midst of your calls.
I love that. So we'll definitely link to those videos so you can watch those. And the trigger idea I commonly use to you know, remind people to drink water, like every time they go to the bathroom, then fill up their glass of water after. But for you, you're saying, yeah, when the kettle's boiling, then do some movement, some exercise there, some squats. When you're brushing your teeth, that's great too. It's all this time where we, you know, it's hard to find extra time, but if you pair it to something that takes a little bit of time, doing the Kegels during brushing brushing your teeth. Those are brilliant. So I love that. And then the stretching with your video off as much as possible. So those are some great ways to fit exercise in. And then with your kids, so many more kids are on screens now, you know, not having recess. I guess, well, some kids are back in school. Some have opted for homeschooling. But what are you doing to keep your kids active right now? And what do you recommend for those kids who are on screens too long these days?
Yeah, there really is a lot of screen time for kids these days. You're right. If they're able, I mean, for our kids, it's a challenge, just like all of us, you know, we're all kind of trying to struggle with the same thing. And I think the teenagers is a little different than the 8-year-old. The 8-year-old, as much as we can, we try to get her to walk to school with us. So at least she's getting moving and she's in the school. So she's definitely getting more activity. She's also doing a couple of Zoom. She's doing Zoom yoga and Zoom Taekwondo.
Great.
Which is on the screen, but at least you're moving. For the older ones, we do have a Peloton. So they do a good job marketing different classes and keeping it kind of fun for them. So they get on that. And then just some dog walking and things like that that they're required to do.
Great. And I think, you know, they're modeling behavior. They probably don't know any different, right? If they grew up with an active mom, potentially your partner's active too, I'm guessing. So that's just probably a way of life, right? It's something you do. You walk to school, you get in your workout pretty regularly. So I think if we can model great behavior for our kids, it just becomes a way of life. Like we really emphasize, you know, walking Stuart to preschool, even if it's raining or snowing. You know, we had him at the zoo on Saturday and we were walking around for a few hours. So trying to get them to move and just say that's a natural part of life, right? I think is really important.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's amazing. Thanks for sharing that. Another concern we see as, you know, in perimenopause, there's can be high estrogen, but then low estrogen, you know, testosterone can be low. These are important hormones to keep our muscles and our bones strong and healthy. So you mentioned strength training. So would that be the best way to keep our bones and muscles strong? Like, do you have any tips to help prevent osteoporosis and lean muscle mass?
Strength training really is the key perimenopausal. So, you know, when we start working with someone in that's just gone through menopause, I'll say to them, you know, you kind of have to change to stay the same. Unfortunately, it sucks, right? But, you know, when you're going through it, your body's going to naturally, physiology, want to put adipose tissue around that in the waist, so that muffin top serves a purpose, right? There's some estrogen that comes off those fat cells. So you really have to actively watch what you're eating even more than you were before and add strength training and just to build the lean tissue and the lean muscle in your body.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really key because a lot of times when people start to notice, that 10-pound spare tire around their midsection, it's like, oh, I got to push harder with my cardio. And they're doing, you know, 5 to 7 days a week of like HIIT or cardio classes, and it's not helping, right? It just contributes to that cortisol peak, makes it harder to lose weight. It's not great for the bones as well. There's your body's in more of a breakdown mode. So I think it's a mindset shift, right? We used to think run harder, faster, do more cardio, but it's really about the strength training, and that helps to boost your testosterone too and your muscle mass and support libido, which are things that can, you know, that can definitely tank in perimenopause and menopause too. So, and it sounds like the strength training, like it can be using free weights and at home a couple times a week, right? It doesn't have to be like, you know, using these big barbells and going to the gym and doing it every single day. So you said, I think, one day of strength training lower body, one day of upper body. Is that correct? And that's enough.
That's what I do. Yeah. And then making sure you're getting some of the smaller muscle groups. So it's not just about working like the muscles in the shoulder and the quads and the hamstrings. You also have to try to do some, you know, leg lifts and things that sort of get some of the smaller muscle groups to help support some of the big joints, especially the hips and the shoulders.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So those are important to emphasize as well. So yeah, we really got to focus on, it sounds like, you know, our back, our core, some of the smaller muscles, and not just focus on some of those bigger muscle categories. So those are some really great tips. Is there anything else you want to leave the listeners with before we move on to the next part of the podcast in regards to, you know, exercise, fitness, training, staying active during a pandemic?
Nope.
No, I think, yeah, we covered everything. That was amazing. So we'll be sure to link to those videos so you can and get some tips and some visuals of what we spoke about. But now we'll shift to the next part of the podcast. So we're going to talk about our super mom moment of the week. So do you want me to go first or do you want to go first, Erin? I'm sure you've got some great super mom moments.
No, I'm happy to go first. And when you asked me to think about what my super mom moment for the week was, it's always like, oh man, did I have one? So what I'm really working on with my oldest daughter is what I call listening from the neck down. So as opposed to, you know, when she comes in with an issue or a problem, coming in with a solution right away, just listening. And I'm there as a support. And I'm there to active listening and commiserate with her, but I'm not always there with the solution. And it's so hard to do. And I did have a moment that I was able to do that this week. So that was, I think that would be my super mom moment.
Amazing. So really just like listening, holding space and not try to jump in and fix it. That can be really hard as a parent, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's definitely a super mom moment. I guess one of my super mom moments, which I mentioned already, was, you know, really instilling being active to Stuart. So getting him to walk to and from preschool with us, regardless of the weather. You know, he has a bike, he has a scooter. When activities were up, I don't think we overscheduled him, but we got him into some gymnastics and swimming just on the weekends. But we're trying to model an active, healthy lifestyle. And then even, you know, I really am into meditation and all of that. So getting him, we're doing some meditation apps before bed. The Stop, Breathe, Think app is really great for kids. And even the Insight Timer app has some good meditations and songs and bedtime stories. So really just try to, you know, keep him active in the day, but help him unwind at night. So I guess that's my super mom moment. And then I know you're doing a great job, Erin, but can you dig deep and find a mom mess up that's happened recently?
Yes. Well, there's always lots of those. So one which is more sort of a funny one, I went to buy my youngest snow jacket, like a snow suit yesterday. I was rushing, sort of impatient at the store, trying to get this done. And I actually wanted to get home for a 5 o'clock Zoom yoga class, of course, and bought her the wrong size. So now I have to go back today. I was like, oh man. So I was impatient and I didn't give myself enough time for the task. And then I was rushed and then kind of made a mistake. And it's going to cost more time than the whole thing anyway. So.
Oh, geez. Well, you got your yoga class in.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I know it happens, right? It takes so much longer to get things done with kids than we anticipate. So
yeah.
You're still doing a great job. And yes, mine's actually about clothes too. My mom messed up. So I hadn't cleaned out Stuart's drawers for a while. And now that it's colder weather, he's reaching for more of his pants. Like he picks out his own clothes, but I still have pants that are too small. And if I don't get rid of them, he's going to want, he'll see them and he wants to wear them. So he's been going to school, preschool with short pants. I'm like, oh my gosh, they must think we can't afford to buy him new pants or, you know, his ankles are freezing. So that's my mom mess up. I have to clean out his drawers and get some of his pants that fit out of some of the, you know, big containers we have for clothes that are too big for him that we've had as hand-me-downs from people. So that's my mom mess up. I got to get a little bit more organized with that, especially as it's getting colder here.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Erin, what's your mama must have? Something that you've really been enjoying or you can't live without lately?
So it would be the Zoom yoga classes I'm doing. Actually, I really find that even though there's like a million different things you can do on YouTube, there is something for me about a shared experience to feel like you're kind of doing this with someone else. And I like the mindfulness around the classes. So those, I think that's my must have these days.
Amazing. And do they show do they show other participants, or is your camera on when you're doing it? I always wonder.
It is on. It is. People make that choice. Not everyone. You can choose whether you have it on or off. I choose to often have it on just because, again, I'm having that shared experience, and the instructor will, give you tips if your camera's on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that's great. So you get that added benefit. Cause I do, that's actually my mama must have is the workouts I'm doing on YouTube. There's some great, channels that I'm using for different strength training, yoga, core Pilates, for resistance bands, etc. But they're pre-recorded. I think I like the idea though of those, classes where you show up live online and you have that community, cause we typically get more benefits from that. And then if the instructor is able to give you specific tips on your movements, I think that's really useful. But yeah, I have to get my morning workout in, and then I definitely need to get at least one walk in the day, because yeah, I myself know I kind of tighten up if I don't move, and then my mood is really poor and I don't sleep well if I'm not getting that fresh air and movement. So I aim for about an hour a day. I'm not a big person to use fitness trackers or, number of steps, but I forgot to ask you about that, Erin. Do you have any fitness trackers that you like more than others, or? Is that something that you don't?
Yeah, I mean, I do have a Fitbit that I use. I think it can be motivating for some people and demoralizing for others. So you have to figure out where you are on that spectrum. If you find that you're down on yourself if you didn't happen to get your goal, then it may or may not be a good tool for you, because we want to have things that kind of pump you up and make you feel good about yourself. If you're someone that really likes that accountability, it can work. So I do wear one, and I sort of have a goal, but on days that I don't hit it, I try not to be too hard on myself.
Right. So using it, yeah, in a way that's going to motivate you, not paralyze you. Because sometimes people will be like, oh, I didn't get my 10,000 steps. It's all over. I'm not doing it tomorrow. So really recognizing, yeah, how is it going to serve you, or is it not going to serve you? So that's a great tip. And then if you could just remind listeners, so what would be a perfect client for you? Because yeah, they can see you either in their house or via virtual sessions. So what would be a good client recommendation, whether it's their parents, themselves, who can you help?
So we focus on clients over 50, and we have a combination. We either have clients that are most of them are between 65 and 85, although we do work with some clients between 50 or 60 that maybe have some issues like joint pain, morbidly obese, early onset Parkinson's or early onset Alzheimer's. That's conditions we work a lot with. We do work with frail older adults as well. And then sometimes it's a bit of a combination. We're doing some virtual training now with a client, and the daughter is in New York, the mom is in Ottawa, and the trainer is in Toronto. And they meet three times a week. And Zoom, sometimes you just don't have anything else to talk about. So they visit, the mom and daughter visit with each other for these 3 hours a week. They're getting moving together. And it's really working well for them. So, if you want something fun to do with your parent, we are offering a free virtual session right now just to try it out. But it's working really well for some people, the virtual, even if they want to do it with a friend or with a child.
I love that. Yeah. So they're still working out together in air quotes, but you have your trainer online. You can kind of chat while you're exercising with your friend or with your parents. So such a great idea. And thanks for offering that free virtual training session. So do people just how do they contact you? How do they take advantage of that offer?
Yeah. So they could just go to the website, which is vintagefitness.ca. Or they could give me, if you go to vintagefitness.ca, my number's on there. So you can either call or you can just send an email from the website.
Amazing. So listeners, definitely take advantage of that session and think about if a family member could benefit from signing up. I think it's such a great service. So thank you for sharing all of that information. Do you have a social media account that you want people to follow you on, or is it best through your phone number or through email?
Our Facebook page will be great. I'll send that along.
So we'll link to that as well. Well, thank you, Erin, for sharing your expertise. We don't have any more excuses now for not moving, for not being active. You've addressed, the motivation, the pain, not knowing where to start. So those can be big barriers, but check out the videos as well, listeners. You'll see some great exercises and movements to do while you're sitting and at home. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Connect with us at our website at www.perimenopausalmamas.com, on Facebook and Instagram at Perimenopausal Mamas. We'd love you to subscribe, leave us a review, and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. Please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. So stay safe and healthy, everyone. Thanks again, Erin. Take care.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.